numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
We are presented by BetMGM here on a numbers game. I'm Jonathan Von Tobel filling in for Gil, who is back from vacation starting on Tuesday. So hope you guys have a good weekend and hope Gil has a safe trip back. He'll be back in your lives in just a few. But we do have 1 hour left that we got a lot to get to. We'll update this quickly because I don't think there's any reason to focus. It's over. We're calling it. It's all done. Isaiah Wrinkle has failed. Even though he does have time, he still has 50 minutes. He also still has 47 chicken nuggets to eat. And he's tapped out, so
well, not a surprise. I think you're giving him. Did he get to 53?
I'm blind.
50.
I was gonna say I can't see the timer.
He has complete. All he's got to do is average one nugget a minute for the rest of the show.
He's done.
He's not done.
But what have I told you guys? Look,
his face is toast.
I'm not the smartest guy, but I have experience. Okay, and it's the same thing that I said. It's not about getting full. It's about fighting through the taste. You could love it, and it's not going to happen for you. That's why I think what Chestnut and all these professional eaters do is incredible.
By the fourth
hot dog, the taste was reprehensible. I hated it.
I told him, though, if that's really the case, he should just go get some real hot coffee, just burn those taste buds right off.
That's a good point.
If you're really committed to it. You know, you burn those taste buds right off, go get some Cholula sauce, something like that.
The water's not going to help you.
What's that?
He flashed a water bottle.
Yeah, that's not going to help. No, that's just going to make it worse.
You need a real palate cleanser.
Right.
So like you said, like either coffee to burn them so you don't taste anything.
Or like some hot sauce or something.
I recommend that a soda, like a sugar, can really break it all up. So here he goes. He's going for one more, but yeah, he's done. He's not going to get this
he's
done.
He's toast. So toast.
All right, so that's the update there.
it was a marathon, Isaiah.
Told you.
He treated it like a sprint. He was so confident and cocky. He got the 30 down in like 11 minutes, and he's done 20 since then.
Yep.
He was too confident.
As I stated, too, when he rushed out of the gates, I'm like, you always start strong. It's about how you finish, baby. You can't finish strong.
That's right.
So some updates. Let's focus on the Open Championship really quickly as we wait to see Isaiah fail in real time. Some updates here. First of which is one of the more incredible things happened for Tyrrell Hatton. So walk us through this because I was telling you his tee shot. What hole was it that Hatton completely melted
down on?
18.
We were starting the show, so I wasn't paying as much attention. I don't know. I guess I'm glad I missed most of it actually. But that was 18. I guess he went wide on. You caught the drive.
The drive went into the hole over.
Yeah, I didn't even see that. And I don't know what he did the rest of the way, JVT, but he put up a 9 on the par 5, 18th. I have massive positions on him, so that's really not good. So in one hole, he goes to the par 5, 18th, 2 under par for the tournament. And leaves his second round with +2 on the board.
That's absolutely brutal.
That is brutal.
And look, you're still, he's T52, obviously still plenty of leeway to get up to a top 20, whatever it's going to be. But with the way the course is, you know, played earlier today for our guy, Brian Harman, who is still your leader right now at 10 under, and the way that some of these other guys are playing, you know, I mentioned Jordan Spieth, I've got him at 40-1 on an outright. He is 3 under for the day right now. He is through 7 on my screen here. If he's going to continue to cut into this, if he finishes within, you know, a few strokes of Harmon, that's a hole like that. Doesn't make the difference in terms of having a successful weekend, but in terms of winning this thing, a hole like that can make all the difference.
Well, I just went to check the, because this was another part I didn't think about, is what's the projected cut right now? It's 2 over par.
Ooh, that's
so
a good
he's
point.
So he's going to be riding that line the rest of the morning.
That's a good
I get
point.
To sweat that out the rest of the day. Sweet.
Oh, that's a good, yeah, projected cut is +2.
Looking forward to that. Right now, Data Golf giving, let me update this, Brian Harman, a 39.8% chance to win this tournament.
Where are my guys at?
Your boy Tommy Fleetwood, 14.7, and Jordan Spieth, 9.8.
Okay, all right. Spieth is playing pretty well. His irons look pretty good in the shots that I have seen. And this is, like, I think this is why, too, I bet on Spieth. Like, form, everything like that. By the way, did we just get an ace here?
That was Travis Smythe earlier today.
Okay.
Did bury an ace. So anybody that bet yes on the hole-in-one, cash your ticket. If you bet the hole, bet no on the hole-in-one, you lose your money.
Okay, all right. But I think it does speak. So, like, Spieth, we'll see what Spieth does the rest of the way. But on these things, Kelly, like, I think when you're talking about, and you could speak to this more, where certain golfers have games that fit certain like types of tournaments, I always feel generally pretty comfortable having Jordan Spieth on an Open Championship card. because I feel like his game, like I do feel like his game does suit these sort of courses. Like I think with his irons, like he could be a pretty good links golfer if mentally he's there. Because sometimes when he messes up, it kind of goes out the window.
I completely agree. Usually, Spieth, I'm not the biggest fan of the world. At times, one of the few times I regularly look to bet on him, JVT is in Open Championships, is in links style golf. Do think he has the game for it. He's a great scrambler, great around the greens. The only concern with this specific course for me was his off the tee game, because he can spray some drives sometimes, and we've seen the people that have had trouble with it. But so far, so good for him in that department. He is setting myself up for failure here. But he's gaining off the tee right now for the tournament. So, Jordan Spieth, keep this going, man. He's looking good. And Harman's getting it all done. It's around the green and putting. He has gained over 4 strokes on the field putting in each round so far.
Yeah, and today he has found himself, Spieth, in the rough a couple of times. But he's made a way out of it perfectly fine. So we'll see the rest of the way. And we're still waiting for, what was the weather the rest of the way? We're expecting wind and rain?
Yeah, so the wind should calm down a little bit, but that's because the rain's going to start.
Okay. All right. So right now, I mean, as
according
we're
to
watching
the forecast, we're going to hit, so in 3 hours from now, I'm seeing 72% chance of rain.
Okay, well, that's good, because Spieth's already through 7, so my guys
should be able to finish up here probably.
Yep, and Tommy Fleetwood again, just kind of parring his way around. And look, actually, at times, as we like invoke what Harman did today, at times, that's pretty good if you're just going to play some even golf for a vast majority of this thing. Harman got really hot at the front. He birdied 4 of the first 5. 2 through 5, I think, are the ones that he birdied. Parred out the rest of the way till he got to 18 and did the literal opposite of what Tyrrell Hatton did, which is it, right, almost? Yeah. Which is eagle that final hole to get off to a pretty good end for his second round. So if you're just going to continue to play even par golf the rest of the way, still something I'll be happy with if I'm somebody like...
Oh, totally. If your guys can get to 6 or 7, you are real live. Yep. When you look at the historical numbers of how far Brooks
Koepka
went in, you look at the historical numbers of where guys come back from. I think it's the 36 hole cut. It's 4 back. More than that, you're really in trouble. I know 5 back was usually what it was after round 1. 4 back, though, I think is the kind of the number for the Open Championship after round 2. So you've got the guys that are right in that spot, and some people will say the Open is like, look, if the weather conditions are calm, yeah, Harman might cruise to a victory. But the problem is, if this gets crazy over the weekend, like it's expected to, who knows? It's going to affect everybody, but it's going to affect certain people more than others. And you just got to wait and see who that's going to be.
Yeah, Fleetwood just got caught in the wind there on this par 5. So he was going pretty well, but wind really caught it, and he's in the rough, so we'll see if he can do something here. By the way, do we know here, because you're mentioning you're just being a few back,
mm-hmm.
Koepka right now is only through, 6? I think he's still pretty early in his round right now, through 5.
Yeah,
he's just birdied. He's at 2 under, so that's going to be a name to watch, too.
16-1 live, if you're interested in that. You're getting about the pre-tournament number on him. Live odds right now, Harman +190. Makes sense with that percentage we just read off. Spieth +550, Fleetwood +650. Scheffler 10-1, Rory 13-1, Koepka 16, Wyndham Clark 18, Xander is 22-1. So yeah, what's really interesting is there is that group at, even par through about 2 under with some big names there, that if any of those guys can kind of get up to 5-6 under par, okay, we're setting ourselves up for a great weekend Open Championship.
Oh yeah, because I saw that was kind of the not the complaint, but that was the note from yesterday. It's like, hey, the names at the top doesn't really look that great. And I was like, all right, well, it's 1 round. Let's see what happens. And you're starting to see those names now start to creep up. And generally after 1 round, as we saw with the Amateur, you're going to have some explosions maybe in the first round. But generally, cream rises and you see some of these names. And like we mentioned, so Brooks Koepka's there now.
Brooks 2 under right now. Matsuyama's 2 under for us.
Scotty Scheffler, I know he's 1 over for the day, but right now he's going to have – it's a super long putt for eagle, but he should have a somewhat decent birdie putt coming up if he can't sink this one. Ricky Fowler's through 3. He's at 1 under, so he's even through the tournament. So some of these guys are going to start to make their way up this leaderboard, and especially today. So we'll see Xander Schauffele. I think, did you mention him too, right? 1 under for the tournament. He's even through 4. Siwoo Kim 1 over for the day, but still 1 under par. So we still got plenty of big names that are going to be able to get this thing and make this somewhat competitive as we move forward. What is the weather like for the weekend?
Weather for the weekend, last checked, supposed to be pretty dang ugly. Let's see, tomorrow...
Is there going to be like a wave thing here? Because
Well, no, because we're going to have the cut today, so they'll restagger everything.
Oh, that's a good, that's a good point.
You're going to have afternoon winds in the wind gusts in the 20s tomorrow. Sunday looking a little bit more calm from that standpoint, but rain, it's supposed to rain like all weekend.
Okay.
Pretty much. We have
trying to find ways for Brian Harmon to fail.
Yeah, we have nothing less than a 72% chance of rain tomorrow throughout the entirety of the day.
Okay.
And nothing short of 76% on Sunday.
Okay, let me ask you this in this last 90 seconds. So if it's rain but calm winds, that means what?
Oh, man. I wish I could answer that question exactly. You're gonna see greens soften up. These are already slow greens.
So that'll mean everything slows down.
Everything
right?
will slow down on the greens, but they're already slow greens. So actually for some of these guys, it might be an issue because you got guys coming over from the PGA Tour that are really used to quick greens, especially in majors, much faster greens than what you're playing on. So if these get water bogged down, they're going to be might actually be really tricky slow for some of these guys to putt on that are better putters of the golf ball. And then what you're going to get is you're going to get less run out on the drives, right? So those balls aren't going to, you know, skip along the fairway quite as much. So that will give an advantage to some of the guys that have a further ball flight. That was where part of the reason why I was looking at guys that were longer off the tee, because you need that longer ball flight before it kind of dies on you and you don't get that run out.
Okay. All right. So we'll see how much that affects the weekend. But either way, we're hoping, at the very least, just because, of course, monetarily, I would hope, but also for a little bit more drama that Spieth, Fleetwood, and some of these other guys can cut into the gap and make this interesting as we head into the third round. And we'll keep our eye on the cut line, as we do have some big names right around there. Fleetwood, there you go, buddy. Come on. That's a makeable birdie putt. Let's do this thing. All right, we'll come back. Plenty left to get to. I made an awards bet recently. Let's talk about it in the National Football League, why I made it, and if there's maybe some other awards that we can be interested in. It's not an MVP thing. I can't get into the MVP award market.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
VSiN.com's got a lot of great stuff for you, including our picks page. You can sort through picks made by show hosts and guests. You can follow your favorite hosts. I mean, come on, it's Mitch Moss and Paul Howard. We all know it. Top VSiN experts leaderboard. Introductory offer only $19. VSiN.com/subscribe. We are rolling through. We have more to get to. By the way, we're dead here, right? We're done. We had Dustin.
I'm checking in for official word.
Yeah, I mean,
it's official. Calling it. Tapped, it's been called.
Yeah, there we go.
He's tapped out.
Towel's thrown in.
What'd he get?
What'd we tell you?
What'd he get to? Why do I see 50 and a half? 50, he got to 50 nuggets? 5-0? Exactly half?
What a failure.
Oh, he's holding up half a nugget.
What a spectacular failure. I think Jordan Spieth has like a 2-foot putt for birdie here. Man, if he can do this.
I want to say good try, Isaiah, but not really.
I mean, the confidence was, it was too much.
It was too much.
Too much confidence. He allegedly asked, I don't know if you have the tools down there, he asked if he could blend the last 49 and a half nuggets to drink it down.
I think that was a joke, but he did ask that, yes.
Yeah. appalling. Oh, hey, really quick, because I'm watching this. By the way, Scottie Scheffler, that eagle putt we talked about, rolled it to within about 2.5-3 feet, so he's going to have a birdie opportunity here. Again, still pursuing. I think the story with Scheffler, obviously not out of it, but the top 10 run, and we'll see if that continues. Mm-hmm. Part of our draft, by the way, that I have.
That's right.
Yeah. Do you have those?
Oh, yeah, we do.
So we should update those momentarily, but I wanted to ask you really quickly, what was the video I was watching earlier? Who scuffed the ball off a fence right in front of them?
Oh, Gary Woodland. Dude. My boy Gary Woodland.
But here's the thing, because I think you retweeted this. Was it not the rule that, like, if he was within, like, 6 yards, or is it 4 yards he could have done it? He could have had a redrop, but because he was 6 yards out or something like that?
I was probably, yes. There should have been a club length drop thing going on there. I didn't hear the audio, but I saw a couple tweets where they picked up the audio of the caddy conversation with him.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like, hey, if you hit this, you'll be fine clearing it, yada, yada, yada. And then he goes right, grabs the club, and then clank right into the fence.
Love it. Love it. All right. So let's recap this. So this was our golf draft for the Open Championship. As we will keep track of this, and then Kelly, when I win, will buy me dinner. Still owes me drinks from some random thing we did over the weekend in terms of a bet on the live bet Saturday show. So I've got Scottie Scheffler at top 10 at minus 140 again, where he's around T24, something like that. So we'll see if he can get in there. Victor Hovland, top 20 right now, T24 as well, even in one over for today. He's done. So scuffling right around that mark. Hideki Matsuyama, top 20 for me. He is T9, so that's good. A good start for Mats. That was at plus 190. We also have Cam Smith, or at least I do. I was playing against the thought, trying to do a little strategy here. You have Cam Smith to miss the cut, and I've got Cameron Smith to finish inside of the top 20. He is right around there, man. He's at the cut line, a projected cut line of 2 over.
Let's go.
Tied for 52.
Give me some bogeys, Cam. Give me some bogeys.
There's also a universe in which we both miss on that one, because he makes the cut but then doesn't finish in the top 20.
Yes,
so
yeah.
there's that middle area. And then Xander Schauffele over Ricky Fowler. This one is going to be a sweat. Right now, Xander Schauffele for the tournament is 1 under. Ricky Fowler is even. So that one's going to be one that goes down to the wire. Those are all my selections. For you, big blow today. Tyrrell Hatton, the way that he finished, you have him top 20. He as well floating around the cut line at 2 over, given the way that worked out of the final hole. But the others, you're looking pretty solid. Tommy Fleetwood, top 20, plus 115. He is, of course, in contention right now. He is T2. He is even for today through 4. He just missed out on a birdie putt right now, so he's going to par that hole, or you would think. Cam Smith to miss the cut, as we just mentioned, floating around there. Matsuyama over Sung J.M. I think you're in really good position here, aren't you? Sung J.M. is...
I think he gave a couple. Yeah, he's 2 over par.
2 over, so he might get cut. We'll see if that ends up working out. And then Siwoo Kim, top South Korean. At this point right now, I think that would be the mark, right? Yep, he is the top South Korean right now. Tom Kim is there with him, too. Siwoo Kim's 1 under. But
imagine if you lose that one to Tom Kim with a broken wrist or whatever he's playing through.
It's a torn something in his – was it his wrist or his ankle, whatever it was, so – that's something we do have to monitor, too. If he's really that
wild,
hurt,
yeah.
And if he's actually got to get surgery. I mean, I know we watched, what was that, all those years ago, Tony Finau dislocating his ankle and then going on to finish top 10 at the Masters that year, didn't he?
The problem is, though, is that we got the question the other day about it. There's nothing official when it comes to golf injuries.
Right.
We have absolutely no idea. I don't even understand. I questioned when I read that earlier today about Tom Kim. How does he know he has a tear? It's not like he had time to go get an MRI or something like that in between rounds.
That's a good point.
Like, I don't really understand how we know it's torn, unless he did. I guess he could have, but
they
didn't
assume.
Yeah. I don't know why we're just assuming that.
Yep, that's torn.
So and then he goes out and shoots what, 3 under today? I'm not. So I think there's a lot of injury situations in golf we try to take advantage of. I don't know that that's one that I'm going to be running to bet against. Tom Kim tomorrow, yes. Tommy Fleetwood right up against the wall in a pot bucket.
Yep, on this par 3, so that's going to be tough. You bogeyed this one yesterday, so.
I'm going to bring that up real quick, though, because you and I talked about this off air.
What's going on with
this? One of the changes they made today, which is absolute garbage. If you watched the end of the Open Championship yesterday, the coverage on USA, I think it was, you saw Jon Rahm, Rory McIlroy, and Justin Thomas all struggled mightily on 18, hitting into the pot bunkers around the green. They had to chip sideways, backwards, just to get out of them, JVT, to try to get up on the green. All three of them posted monster numbers. I'm not saying it's just because of the three of those guys, but it probably had a big thing to do with it. Instead of the leveled out bunkers that the RNA promised for this event that was supposed to make these so penal and so difficult, they have now decided that they're going to concave them a bit, like normal bunkers, so that the balls will go back to the middle of the bunker and these guys have more room to get out of.
That's lame.
It's garbage. It's absolute garbage. If you're going to set up a golf course to play one way, you don't change it after one round.
Well, but you don't complain about it.
And these guys complain about everything.
I know, but because think about that too. I mean, I don't know. I get it. You did it after the round, so everybody played through. Because the big names complain about it near the end, you're going to do it, right?
I'm just assuming that part of it, but it's so obvious, right?
Of course.
Come on.
If our amateur, the 6'8" kid's going out there, guys, this is ridiculous. They're going to tell him, shut up, get out of here.
They don't care.
We're not doing anything
Justin
about
Thomas
it.
Justin Thomas got embarrassed on national television yesterday. Yep. That's why it happened.
Yeah, that's lame. Whatever. I mean, this is already going to be a course. I mean, look at the leader right now through 2 rounds of 10 under. It's going to be a course that plays relatively well for these guys.
Mm-hmm.
Just take it.
Yeah.
My guy, Tommy Fleetwood. You know what? I vote that they go dig him out even more right now so my guy can get a little bit of a better shot to get.
Yeah, old fairway Jesus struggling to find the fairways here the past couple holes.
Is that his nickname?
Yeah. I've heard it like 97 times in the past 2 days. It's getting old already.
Well, every time I look up, he's lost his way.
He's not the fairway.
He's lost his way a little bit. I want to correct myself because I did mention that it might be a short putt for birdie for Spieth. That was actually a short putt for par. So he does hit that. He sits at 5-under right now, 3-under for the day. He is through 8. One of the better rounds that is getting put together. But as we mentioned, somewhat tough day for the most part. Spieth right now, 3-under for the day. He is through 8, as I mentioned. Everybody else that has some of the lower scores, like 3-under, they're either done for the day. Ryan Fox is 3-under. He is through 15. 4-over for the tournament. So not a very big contention. Probably going to get cut here. And that's about it. So the course is playing a little bit tougher. But in terms of guys really in contention, Spieth is the one that is actually making a little bit of noise. We'll have to carry this conversation over. So let's hit on MVP really quick. So I did mention that I didn't want to make an MVP vet in the National Football League. As we kind of know, a quarterback-based award, and generally the starting quarterback of a team with one of the better records in the NFL, it has lost some of its luster when it comes to winning the award. I don't think you ever – I think it's somewhat like Super Bowl MVP, where I can get – you can make all sorts of cute cases for like edge rushers and doing all sorts of stuff. But the way that this market has gone, if you're not betting on a quarterback to win this award, I think you're wasting your money. I don't think there's going to be a universe in which a quarterback doesn't win Most Valuable Player. So what do you do with a market like this? Because it's just not one I'm interested in wagering on, Kelly. I think you can make a case for like a Lamar Jackson. If that season goes very well, then Lamar might be a pretty good candidate to win it. But overall, it's not one that I'm very interested in wagering on or handicapping to any sort of extent.
Yeah, if you're – I think you've even missed the number on Lamar. You know, he was like 20-25. I'm just looking right now. He's 15-1 over at DraftKings. It's, you know, something we talked about off the air because we are going to get to some awards on the other sides that I know we have – you have some bets on. We have some betting thoughts on. Man, MVP in the NFL right now, it's – I mean, I think it's a tip of the cap moment to these guys, but I'm just not willing to bet against – Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, and yeah, probably Lamar Jackson I'd throw in there this year, and I guess Jalen Hurts on the NFC side of things. Like, in most most likely one of the winners is coming out of that group of five, but I have no idea which one, and I'm not really willing to ride with one this season.
Yeah, as somebody who has kind of made the case for, hey, Jags, easy schedule, like dark horse to win one seed in the AFC, you could say Trevor Lawrence. But also at the same time, I don't want just 15-1 on Trevor Lawrence to win the award.
Exactly.
Because I think the probability of him winning that is lower than what 15-1 would indicate. So, Yeah, like it's hard to. And again, as I mentioned, like you go down all the way through. Like, let's see, the first non-quarterback listed is Justin Jefferson at 100-1. Or no, Christian McCaffrey at 80-1. So you're not going anywhere other than quarterback in this thing. And I don't even know in the future when, if ever, a non-quarterback is going to win this.
I wish this is one of those things I wish they'd just...
They got to change something.
Just change it. Just call it MVP or whatever. You need to change names. Just make it sure that this is the quarterback award, and then offensive player of the year is non-quarterbacks. Make it very clear those two are separate.
I would agree. All right, we'll come back because we'll talk about the defensive player of the year award market. I did bet something in there, and the rest of these two, including I think there are some interesting candidates for comeback player of the year that we can get to as well that aren't DeMar Hamlin.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We all know about the speed of sound, but have you ever thought about the sounds of speeding? Drive too fast, you could hear the sound of your vehicle crashing because one way or another, speeding catches up with you. Paid for by NHTSA. Back here on a numbers game. Yep, all backed up. Done. Over. It is a failure. Wave the flag. Stand up. Stand up straight. Come on, let's go. Wave the flag. Yep, that's
surrendered.
Right. I'm going to shame you. That's
yep,
right.
Shame. Shame.
Failure. The confidence. 100 nuggets in 100 minutes. Absolutely failed. Only 50.
Got through like 35 so quick. It was like in 12 minutes. And then just.
Hey, amen. Plus done. EV. Betting against Isaiah Wrinkle to finish that thing up. I'll tell you that much. Good effort, though. Good effort.
Good effort,
yeah,
Isaiah.
Good effort. Especially eating day-old chicken nuggets at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah,
way to do it.
I totally watched when I bought those last night. By the way, for people have been tweeting asking about that. Yes, I purchased them last night. Put them in nice Ziploc bags, like we saw, and refrigerated them for him to reheat this morning. So he had to deal with old nuggets too. I will give him that. But JVT, if you had to walk into a McDonald's and order 100 McNuggets, don't you think you need to give an explanation behind it? That's the way I felt walking into the McDonald's.
No, it was like party or something like that.
I told everybody exactly what we were doing. Nobody cared. Like, it's Vegas. Sure. It's Vegas. They're like, oh, there's a bet going on? Yeah, we don't care.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it broke up the day for a little bit, but.
And then I think the thing I was shocked by the most is they have these little carriers for like mass amounts of nuggets.
Yeah.
Like they put 50 in each.
Yeah. Like the little handle boxes?
Yeah. I was like, who's ordering these this
often? You got to get ready for whatever comes at you. McDonald's is ready for those sort of things.
Very impressive.
Sponsor us, please. Okay, really quick, want to give an update. So Tommy Fleetwood did drop a stroke there on that last hole. He actually did a pretty good job, Kelly, of getting himself out of the bunker, but ended up just missing on a par putt. So got that one in. He drops a stroke. And I think Jordan Spieth, I don't know if he's about to. I think they just showed him. I thought he was, I don't know if they're a little behind on the broadcast, thought he was on to the next hole, but maybe this is just a catch-up here because it looks like I thought it was Spieth that doesn't look too happy with the putt coming up, so might be for bogey, but we'll keep an eye on that. Right now, Harmon, still your leader at 10-under, 65 for the day, done. Jordan Spieth at 5-under, and Antoine Rosner, are you in on him? He is through one at 5-under, so another guy who can maybe make some hayway today.
Rosner, but a DP World Tour staple right there, so see if he can make some noise over here.
All right, with that, we were talking about NFL awards and the fact that I don't feel the need to get in on MVP. Now, there were bets that I did make, first of which is Defensive Player of the Year. I feel pretty confident, as we're kind of talking about the Cleveland Browns, right, and I've referred to them as, you know, whatever term, the fly in the ointment, all that kind of stuff. It is a team that has a lot of potential. And a guy that I think can have a very big season so far this year, coming into this year, would be a guy like Myles Garrett. I think Garrett has, you know, we know that he has the tools to win Defensive Player of the Year. You can get him about plus 750, or, you know, I got him at 8-1 over at Circa to win this thing. But I think when you're looking at the way that this is made up for Myles Garrett and the pieces around him, Kelly, I think there's actually a really good chance that this is going to be a year which he can come out for Cleveland and win this thing in terms of Defensive Player of the Year. It's not just Myles Garrett. Obviously, Za'Darius Smith is here too. So when you talk about adding other edge rushers and opening this up, you're not going to be able to afford to double Myles Garrett as much or send as much help because I think this pass rush front is actually really, really solid for them, and there's a lot of depth in that regard. And if you're talking about a Cleveland Browns team that is going to be in position to win quite a few games, and I think Garrett's going to be a part of that, to bet him at about 8-1 to win Defensive Player of the Year, I thought was really worth it. Micah Parsons is going to have a lot of attention, and he's a very good player, deserves to be favored for this. I think you can make a case for T.J. Watt as well, but my money for it was on a guy like Myles Garrett, who I think when you look at Za'Darius Smith next to him as an edge rusher, last year, Smith at 85.4 pass rushing grade. You have I can't do it. The other edge rusher that they have there, I apologize for mispronouncing your name, 81.9 from a season ago. This is, I think, a front, as well as Dalvin Thompson along the interior, one of the better interior edge rushers or pass rushers that you're going to see. I think there's a lot here for Cleveland to kind of set up Myles Garrett for a lot of success this season.
Yeah, and we kind of spoke about them yesterday too. Of like, I think this AFC North is going to be absolutely brutal. I think that the Steelers are going to be, you know, Mike Tomlin's never had a losing season. Don't know if you know that or not. But like, you know, I think they're going to take a step back, but I don't think they're going to take a huge step back. And then we talked about it yesterday. I expect the Browns to be better. I expect the Ravens to be better. And I still think the Bengals are one of the best teams in football. So, like, this division is going to be brutal. But and that's why you're seeing so many of the defenders, you know, on this odds board because of how talented some of these defenders are in that division. I think Michael Parsons deserves to be the favorite in this market. I don't have a bet in this market right now. Probably won't preseason. But if I had to go anywhere, it would be Myles Garrett as well. I think if you can find that 8-1, I think him, Micah Parsons, T.J. Watt deserve to be the three favorites in this market. But you could almost put any one of those guys, any order after Micah Parsons, as long as it's slightly down from him, I think is accurate.
Yeah, and the rest of these two, I think when it comes to Defensive Player of the Year, it's much like these other markets. You do want players who are going to put up some splash stats to get some of the low-tier voters to kind of buy in on it, right? So you want sacks, you want potential interceptions. Yeah, I do wonder, so like a guy like Ahmad Gardner, when you're talking about the ability to win that, you should win it without needing a bunch of interceptions to, like, win this thing.
But he will. He's going to need it.
Yeah.
He's going to need 5, 6, 7 picks.
It's hard to evaluate corner play if you're not really watching. And there are a few writers who vote for these things who do watch and who might use sites like a PFF or whatnot. But I think for the most part, you're trying to find some of these guys. And I think that's why you see, right, a lot of these names, edge rushers, because you want some of those explosive numbers that are going to really help you out to win this thing.
And to the voters' credit, I mean, they got it right last year, right? He won Defensive Rookie of the Year, right? And he didn't have the interception numbers that Tariq Woolen did in Seattle. So, that was the big one. Tariq Woolen had like 6 interceptions like halfway through the season. Mm-hmm. So I think that they got it right last year. We'll see if they start to pay attention to more of the analytics that we talk about all the time like that.
The other, I mentioned comeback really quickly. So DeMar Hamlin over at DraftKings is -285 to win this thing. There is a thought that, hey, look, you know, you play a snap, then you're going to win this. And it's much like what happened with Alex Smith coming back from his injury that year. Just needed to get on the field, and that would be the case. I will say there are a couple of other guys on this list, Kelly, that really intrigue me. Like, you have certain guys, right, that are coming back, like, from some sort of – like, Tua Tagovailoa as the second choice at 20-1 is pretty interesting, only because I guess he is coming back from a season that was marred by injury.
Yeah, the concussions.
You know,
yeah,
right.
People will all remember that.
There's that. There's Russell Wilson coming back from having a very poor year. But if you go down – I mean, the story of John Metchie III is a really good one, right, with what he had to go through. And then now coming back, he's still an extremely talented player at that as well. And I think he could play a really big role in Houston's offense. Like, those are the names that I'd look for, because Metchie III, I think, is actually going to be a very impactful player.
Did you bet that?
Not yet, no.
Because you brought that up probably 4 or 5 months, whenever this market first got open.
Yes.
And we were talking about it, and he had to have been much longer odds back then. Because weren't we asking? I remember having a conversation, me and you talking about this, and we couldn't even find odds on it.
Right, and that was the thing. I mean, I haven't made the trek out to Hoover Dam.
So 30-1.
Let me double-check.
Yeah, it's probably pretty accurate. I think the other names on here, I think Tua, I think Lamar, I think those are two names that would be very live if it was any other year. I think those two names are the favorites in this market. So that's one way to look at it. I think you have to first decide what does DeMar Hamlin have to do to convince enough voters to go his way. I think a lot of people have differing answers on that. For me, it's he has to play some type of role in this defense still, and it has to be probably through most of the season. I don't think he's a guy that – I mean, if you remember what he did last year, he was basically their third safety. Mm. If he can't be a guy who's going to come in, and if he has 2 tackles in the first game, we're just handing him this award. I don't think that's the way it's going to work.
Yep.
I think he deserves it, much like Alex Smith. Like, the name of the award, that guy stepping back out on the field, you should give it to him right away. We're handicapping voters always when we're talking about these things.
The other name, too, again, when you're looking at comeback, I will also say this, because when we've talked about this in the past, I think it was like with Geno Smith, and people are like, what you coming back from, sucking? Like, that's a comeback. And if you're approaching this market with that thought, like, that's dumb, I think you're handicapping yourself severely. Like, you should open your mind to the fact, like, this is an award that can go to those guys who had down years and are coming back from those sort of things.
Ryan Tannehill, the year he won it.
Correct.
He went to Tennessee.
Yep.
What was he coming back from? He sucked on the Dolphins.
Yep. I mean, look, like, so, you know, Derek Carr could be a candidate here at 50-1. I would also point out Foster Moreau, again, when you're talking about just good stories dealing, with disease and having to come back from it, Foster Moreau is a very good story at 45-1. Again, I'm not sure how much statistical output really needs to happen, unless you just need to be a guy that is coming back from something like that and has played a large role for their respective teams. But if you're looking at that, there is DeMar Hamlin, there's John Metchie, and then, of course, there's Foster Moreau among those names that I think you should really look at to win this award. This seems like a year where we're not looking at the guys who are coming back from statistically down years, because there are guys like Hamlin, Metchie, and Moreau who are coming back from legitimate things that I think would sway voters in a really big way. So something to keep an eye on for that market. As far as Coach of the Year is concerned.
It is interesting. It is interesting, though, how voters are going to treat, I think, the cases that you just laid out versus some of these quarterbacks, right? Tua, if he has a big season, how do you treat that, right? I think it's going to make this market tough.
I think for Tua, the potential is there for him to actually win MVP.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, and I don't know if they would do that, come back and MVP, but the potential is there just because of that offense. And look, he did look great in his peak play last year was very, very good in that offense. And that maximized a lot what he could, what he did. When we come back, we have to look at the AAC, a conference that has been remade with a lot of teams coming from Conference USA. And there's about a third choice on the board that I think is going to be legitimately good in this conference. We'll talk about that when we return here on A Numbers Game.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. If you're planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM GameSense reminds you to play responsibly. BetMGM.com for terms. Got to be 21. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. They inspire 7 days. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem. 1-800-GAMBLER is the number. A quick update. Has anything happened? Anything transpired here in the world of golf? Fleetwood's got a long putt for birdie that I know he's not going to make because that would make me too happy. Yep, comes up short. Right on line. Sure. Come on, man. What are you doing?
Oh, Tommy. It's getting frustrated.
No more. Can I get like green Jesus? I don't want fairway Jesus. I want green Jesus. The putter's been letting him down.
Yeah, that was a tough one. Tommy, this would be big. I'm a Tommy Fleetwood fan. So, like, if I'm not going to win a bet,
right?
I'd like to – I mean, I have a top 20 on him, so that would win a bet, I guess. But I would like to see him win something soon. It's getting tough with some of these guys. Like, he can't win in the States. He can't win on the PGA Tour. It's tough when you're talking about guys that are that talented.
You want
them to get it done.
It's not like he's a bum. He's getting top 20s and 10s and like performing well. It's just, and he's shown out in some majors. Like I'll never forget the Shinnecock thing, man. Did he tie the course record, whatever it was? Like, he was great.
It's a great case study though. Matt Brown and I talk about this often, where it's win equity when it comes to golf, and he's just a guy that doesn't have much of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you could compare it to a guy like Sam Burns, who's been all over the place this year. But, you know, he's got 6 wins in the past 2 seasons. It's just, it's amazing with some of these guys that are able to get it done and some that just can't.
This is a big putt for par for Scottie Scheffler. Mm-hmm. Nails it. Onions. Let's go. 1 under.
He's not going away.
No, he's not. The machine, if you will. I'm surprised he doesn't have like a Jesus nickname.
Yeah, live odds right now, Harmon plus 170, so he's gotten even a little shorter. Spieth plus 650, Scheffler to 9-1, Tommy Fleetwood 10-1, Rory 11, Brooks 14.
T13 for Scottie Scheffler, approaching that top 10 again.
Whichever one of these big names, I mean, you need Spieth and Fleetwood. You needed Spieth and Fleetwood, I think, to get to like, 7 under, probably 7 under today.
Yeah,
because I think you're going to get one of these big names that gets up to like 5.
Yeah, and this is a big one too because
we got a dang tournament.
Yep, Spieth right now is this is about, what would you say, 8 feet?
Yeah,
for a par right here. So this is going to be pretty big too. As he got hot early, he was 3 under early, and then he's just kind of been floating around this 5 under mark. So like you said, I mean, we watched with Harmon. You just kind of want to maintain for a minute, and then when you get an opportunity to get a birdie or drop a stroke, gain a stroke on the pack, then that's what you want to do. So we'll see if you can actually do it. But
this kid's story, Matthew Jordan, this guy's story has been incredible. This is he's a local kid that he's a member of this club, has won the club championship a couple times, but he doesn't belong here, as they say, right, JVT? He doesn't belong on this leaderboard where he's at, and he is 1 under par right now, playing some incredible golf on his home course.
Can I echo, just the same complaint I've made for a while. Hideki Matsuyama's through 7. There he is. I was just saying, I haven't seen him once.
Yeah, you said it. Make the putt now.
Make that. Yeah, sure.
Oh, come on.
Man.
Decky.
Hey, man.
They had to tease us. Usually when they don't show you someone for that long.
That's what I'm saying. I thought that was going in.
Yeah.
Generally, it's I think, you know, back in the day when Rich Eisenwood, I would watch the NFL Network a lot, he would always have a line when they were showing highlights. He's like, we're showing you a kickoff for one reason. It's either a return or a fumble.
Right, exactly.
There's nothing in between. We're not showing you this for no reason whatsoever. So I thought that was the reason for Mats. By the way, did I just watch that rim out for a putt for par there? Whatever. All right, let's talk about this. As we were talking, Group of Five has kind of been the theme for us throughout the week here on a numbers game as we're talking about college football and getting ready. And this has been this time of year where I really start to do a lot of the preparation. I think Scheffler's in the rough, but not in the big rough there. Tricky camera angle. So the American Athletic, this is, I think, a fascinating conference because even before you start to get into the specific teams, Kelly, this is one that is getting completely remade in terms of the players that will be in, like, the teams, the programs.
Yeah, it's insane.
There's
like 20 teams.
Yes. So I think the actual number is lost 4, added 6. And pretty much every single one of them actually is from Conference USA. So this is, you know, we've called this Conference USA Light because you get a lot of those teams. And at the top, we get the names that you expect. Tulane, the favorite to win the conference at plus 210. SMU plus 360. You get to UTSA, the newcomer at 425. Memphis is at 6-1. FAU is at 7-1. And then you get to, you know, the double digits, the big, the long shots, right? Because there seems to be a gap between the top five teams in the conference and then the rest of it. East Carolina, North Texas at 35-1 and on. Very quickly, before we get to win the conference, because I did mention a team there, it does set up for, I think, a pretty good calendar year for your Owls. The Fowl Owls might be on the prowl once more.
Yeah.
Tom Herman comes over and takes over the program. It's going to be his first year here. And I always wonder about these dynamics because 18 guys are back from last season for FAU. However, it's a new head coach. So obviously it's not your guys necessarily that you're bringing in. But Herman, I think, is a pretty good mind that he can actually get a lot out of this offense. You bring in Casey Thompson, who is a guy that Herman recruited back in his days at Texas. So there's familiarity there at quarterback. Thompson, too, if you look at it in his career, 20 starts, 4,500 yards, 63%, 41 touchdowns. That was the last 2 years at Nebraska. He's a pretty talented guy, and I think there's a reason why, you know, of course, recruited by Herman. I think that there's a chance that this thing hits the ground running for Herman overall. And while you lose some talent along the offensive line, right, you lose an honorable mention all-conference guy and your center, Nick Weber, your all-conference left tackle from last season, there's still enough here, and I think a high enough floor and some familiarity at the key position of quarterback to head coach that I think Florida Atlantic is going to be an interesting team to watch. Maybe not so much in contention for the conference, but I do think from a win total standpoint, from an ATS standpoint on a day-to-day or a week-to-week basis, Kelly, it's going to be a team that you really want to keep an eye on. And from a schedule standpoint, too, you look at the conference and where they're going to have to play. Like when you talk about once you start to get to conference play, the road spots aren't that bad at USF, at Charlotte, at UAB, at Rice. You do get to play, you know, you have to play in terms of playing host to Tulsa. UTSA is going to be a tough one, East Carolina, and then Tulane. But you have UTSA and Tulane, your toughest road or home games. This is, I think, a pretty intriguing year for Florida Atlantic. With so much returning personnel, with, I think, that connection between head coach and quarterback, I would not look away from Florida Atlantic at least going over a win total and being pretty competitive in this conference on a week-to-week basis. Okay. Now, that is not the team, though, that I mentioned. And it's a team that I mentioned with Tim that I think is worth betting to win this conference potentially. UTSA, I think, is going to be really, really freaking good in this thing. So, first off, a lot of people would think, and I'm going to steal this line from Tim and Adam on the podcast because I thought it was a great way to put it. People would assume that this is a step up in competition for UTSA, moving from Conference USA to the American. But when four of the better programs leave and half of the conference that you were in comes in,
right?
How big of a step up in competition is it for you, really?
So that's where that's where I wanted to ask you, though. That really, it's handicapping this conference overall. That's where you got to start, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, the teams that have exited and the new teams that are in, this is a conference that probably looks more like Conference USA than it even did for the AAC a year ago.
Yes, I would agree. And so I think that's why if you're a team like UTSA, when you have a quarterback like Frank Harris coming back, when you have the skill position and offensive line that is largely intact from a season ago, but of course, remember, that team won 11 games and they bring back 16 overall starters. It's such a good point, too, is, you know, you look at the wide receiver room, right? And a lot of people are going to make a big deal, of course, at the fact that your leading receiver from last season is going to go and leave for Ole Miss, right? In Franklin. However, when he, before Clark got hurt, they're another returning receiver here for them, DeCorian Clark. He was actually the leading receiver before his injury. So you can make a case that, while when you lose some of these guys to transfers, there's a case to be made that the skill position returning is actually pretty good. So overall, you have so much returning talent. You have a conference that I think, you know, as we've seen from the odds, there's a pretty big gap between the teams at the top and the teams at the bottom. SMU is going to be very good. Tulane deserves to be favored. But if you're talking about 4-1 on UTSA with everything they bring back, I think you're really, really looking at that hard to not only go over the win total, but to win that conference at about 425 or better.
Are they still playing in the Alamo Dome?
Let me double check. I have this right here in front of me.
Question. I never understood why more teams in Florida and Texas don't play in domes like that. That is very convenient for them to have that.
I think so.
Yeah, I think so.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, they are. Sorry. I got
Jason
it right here in my notes.
Jason Day, two under par, by the way. He was like 140-1. Jason Day's had a wild season.
Hopefully we get a good weekend. Are we going to be able to watch some on Saturday? Like when we're on the air?
I mean, they'll be like wrapping up when we get on.
What is wrapping up, though? Like last three holes or?
Yeah, the last. Nah. Yeah, we're going to get the last few groups. I don't know exactly what time tee times are at tomorrow.
Okay.
Problem is they have so much daylight over there. They got a lot of time.
That's what I'm saying. Like some of these days, are going pretty long.
Yeah.
Pretty long. All right. Well, that was a fun week. I'll have one more day with you guys on Monday, and then Gil will be back on Tuesday. I always enjoy filling in with Kelly. So any part of this show and any part of it, any of the other shows, VSiN.com/podcasts. Have a great weekend. Good luck. Coming up next, it is the Lombardi Line here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We'll see you.